about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. This is gonna be fun.
Oh, this is gonna be fun?
Yeah, loads and loads of fun.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hi, my name is Zach Galifianakis. Welcome to Between Two Ferns. I'm your host, Zach Galifianakis. With me today is Timmy Kimbles. Jimmy, thank you for joining me here.
Thanks for having me.
You're a late-night talk show host. What's it like to be in the late-night business?
I mean, it's great, you know. It's like something I always wanted to do when I was a kid. I'd watch Letterman, and it's really like a dream come true.
You ever farted on a Cocker Spaniel?
No, I can't say that I have.
You want a beer?
And now.
My mommy says that if a woman is on her lady time, then do not touch her.
Our feature presentation.
Don't even look at her.
Your mom is right. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Tuesday morning. It's 5:34.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Bean.
What's going on?
Not much. What's going on with you?
You know.
How we
gangster-ish.
Do.
Gangster-ish.
Yeah.
Gangster-ish.
How we do.
Well, you got to be careful, man. Hey, let's fire a beer mug, first of all. Second of all, how about this to get us started today? A 40-year-old mechanic in,
Florida?
I don't know, I'm going to say Malaysia.
No.
I'm going to say Malaysia. There are a lot of foreign words in this story. I'm having trouble cutting through it. He apparently figured out from his research on the internet that the world was going to end. He thought there was 3 days left in the world last week. So he called his family together, texted his brothers and his parents and said, we all have to get together. We have to discuss. The world is going to end. Well, for some reason, in the family home, he believed that somehow they could stop the world from ending by, I don't know, channeling the spirit of this famous Muslim prophet, Imam Nawawi, but the only way the prophet could successfully enter the home is if his dad were crying. So he starts hitting his dad with a stick. Wait, and his dad's not crying.
Wait, if his dad is crying, that's an automatic like bat signal in the sky?
Yes, somehow that's how they can get the spirit into the home.
Okay.
Again, I'm not saying any of this makes sense. I think this is how he explained it to the family. Now, while he's hitting his 67-year-old father with a stick, it seems like maybe, I don't know, some of his other brothers that he had texted to come over and be part of the ceremony might step in. Wiser heads might prevail. They might say, hey, not a good plan to beat dad.
But
right?
What if they agreed that dad needs to cry?
Well, maybe they did. Maybe the guy who started this whole thing, maybe he was extremely convincing, or maybe he was just the boss or the bully
maybe
or somebody
he's the
who
– smart one in the family.
What a terrible family.
Terrible family, right? So he's hitting dad with a stick and dad's not crying. So the man takes a knife and
oh no.
Does what with it?
Stabs his dad.
Oh, I wish he only stabbed his dad.
Oh,
yeah, he
no.
cuts off his penis.
Oh, what?
Yeah, he
what?
He cuts off his father's penis.
Boy, don't you start with like a pinky finger or something? Maybe he'll cry after a pinky finger. You don't have to cut off the wiener.
And then cut off his own.
What?
What's happening?
Now, both penises are gone. And then he asks his brother to cut his off, and his brother says, you know, I'm actually out now.
I'm good if the world ends.
I was going to go with your plan, bro, until I saw you cutting off genitals. So both men taken to the hospital, both undergoed surgery, both penises reattached.
Huh?
Miraculously.
Dad, I've got yours.
That's what I was afraid of. That would be like the weirdest thing ever is all of a sudden you had your dad's 67-year-old penis and you're, you know, 40 or something.
Well, that's what he deserves.
Yeah,
it
no
is
kidding.
What he reserves. At least. And it's what dad deserves is to get himself a nice fresh 40-year-old penis, right?
Yes.
For having to go through this for his crappy son. But what a story, right?
Although having said that, it worked and the world didn't end.
Yeah.
So we may owe that guy.
Wow. We mock his techniques,
right.
But apparently the result was exactly what we all wanted.
That sounds like a bath salt story.
Yeah,
yes.
It does.
You know, just crazy acid trip just out there. Maybe if I cut off your penis and then mine, what is happening? How did he get his dad's out? I mean, was he rolling around on the ground trying to?
I don't know. I wish there were a YouTube video of this.
No, you don't.
I don't know why. What I don't understand is why the other family members didn't do more to stop this. I mean, if you're already hitting dad with a stick and then you grab a knife,
right?
Don't at that point you step in and go, "All right, I was willing to go along with it," you know, up to a point. And then how do you let him, after he's cut his father's penis off, how do you let him cut his own off?
Hey, they took a stand after they were down two penises. What's the plural? Peni?
Peni, yes.
So anyway, don't do this.
I guess that is my message. Listen, if that's what it comes down to, the world ends.
Yeah,
as far as I'm concerned.
So. I'm afraid so.
I'm not cutting anything off. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You got to think big. Hookers. Blow. Hookers.
All right.
We got that?
We'll try to add all that.
All right.
Jake Johnson will be in the studio talking about New Girl.
Love him.
He plays Nick.
He's awesome.
He's fantastic. We have Adrian Palicki from G.I. Joe. Can't wait for that movie. Are you playing a tune on that, Bean? My Strange Addiction?
Oh, no. What now?
What highlights are we having today, Bean?
Well, they gave an entire half hour on last week's new episode of My Strange Addiction to a young lady in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, who is addicted to drinking blood.
Bean says they gave a half hour to because usually they split up the half hour into two different 15-minute stories.
Yeah, yeah. It was just she minute after minute time. Of just watching her pour blood into a big glass and just drink it and eat it out of a bowl and cook with it.
A lot of questions.
She doesn't put it on cereal, does she?
She puts it on everything.
Ugh.
Wow.
Gross.
Wow, that's bad. You've been in Los Angeles for a long time, and you've never been to, say, Disneyland or the beach or someplace that you want to go. We're fascinated by this because it seems to happen.
Yeah,
people
a lot.
Say, I grew up here, and I've never been to the beach, and I would love to. And you go, well, how hard is that? Then why don't you just go to the beach? But apparently that doesn't happen. And also, we have Coachella tickets, three-day passes. For the first weekend of Coachella.
Pretty sweet.
Keep listening for that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Dr. Adi Jaffe, after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, in about 8 or 9 minutes or so, he's going to be telling us about a rehab facility that he has up and running. Ralph, you're going to love this.
Mm.
Where you can go in for rehab, treatment for alcohol addiction, but he lets you drink while you're there.
Finally.
Well, here's an idea. How about I not go to rehab for alcohol addiction and I just drink anywhere where I am? How
sounds
about
like
that for an idea?
Time and money.
That's pretty
I
good.
Like
how about just cutting out the middleman and instead of going to rehab to drink, I just stay in a bar and drink?
All right.
It does seem like that would make more sense, I guess.
But moving on.
There are people
moving
who
on.
Feel
We're not
like
having
they
that
need
guest.
Some help.
We're not having that guest.
Coming up next here on Carrick. First, though, Ralph's got our look at the Showbiz Beat for the first time today on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show.
First of all, what's up, Explorers? First things first. I want to thank the folks who did the research, and I had no idea that I was even on this list, but apparently there is a list on Wikipedia of famous LaSalle alumni.
And you made it.
Great.
And I claimed yesterday I was probably the second most famous LaSalle alumni.
Right.
Because actor Peter Boyle, who for many seasons, of course, played Ray Romano's dad on Everybody Loves Raymond. He was a star of Young Frankenstein, had been a movie and television actor for many, many years.
Great actor.
Great actor and easily the most famous person to come out of
LaSalle. So it was him and then you thought yesterday.
I said, there's nobody else, really.
Okay.
Never
yeah,
gone
know,
has any level of showbiz acclaim. There's been plenty of doctors and lawyers and professional types and stuff. But I figured, you know, when it comes to entertainment fame,
sure.
I got to be number two.
Sure.
Well, the list lists Gerard and Kate Hathaway ahead of me.
Gerard and Kate Hathaway?
Yes.
Are they Anne Hathaway's parents?
They are. Anne Hathaway's parents are two on the list, second on the list, and then I'm third. According to Wikipedia.
Well, it's a hell of a list. I'll tell you that.
Anne Hathaway's parents before me.
Hey, Ralph.
By the way, they were both actors, by the way. Her parents.
Oh, is that right?
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
And Kate, who has a different professional name. She's been on Broadway and stuff a bunch of times. So I get that. But still. Come on.
Serious question, Ralph. No clown in here.
Oh, okay.
Is LaSalle a good school? Do you get a good education? Or is it the school that you go to if you can't get into one of the better schools in the Philadelphia area?
I'll have you know, smartass.
I don't know. I'm not mocking. I really don't know.
It is a highly ranked liberal arts college, private university to get into in Philadelphia. Difficult to get into.
Oh.
And, you know, no state school here. This is the real deal. This is a real school and you get a real education. And I had a great education there and enjoyed my time there enormously.
Uh-huh. But you would rather go to Temple.
No way.
Not much.
F Temple.
Not much of a list of alumnus.
I am a proud... proud explorer, and I had a great time there. Well, here's the thing: they don't have a drama program there.
Oh, all right, that makes sense.
So, not a lot of acting. If you're getting into acting, you tend not to go there because they don't have a drama major. So, I did not major in drama when I went there.
Mm.
I went for film, radio, and television production.
See how that turned out.
See, well, look at me. Look at
me. Right.
Look at this. Watch this. I just pushed that button. I'm in radio production.
Couldn't have done that if I had gone to school.
I'm using my diploma. My diploma also gets me a handicapped parking space anywhere here in Los Angeles. Yeah, it's true.
I need that.
All right. Secondly, Evil Dead.
Yes.
Evil Dead.
Yes.
Looks terrifying, this movie. If you'd like
But this
to...
is America. I want it now.
Well, you don't get it now. The movie's in theaters everywhere on April the 5th. However, if you'd like to see it before April the 5th, I can help you out there. Because K-Rock is having a special advance screening of Evil Dead on April the 2nd. At the Arclight in Hollywood, which, speaking of booze and rehab, they've got a bar right there at Arclight. You can go have a cocktail and then just walk into your theater. What could be more convenient than that? More convenient than that alcoholic rehab you guys are trying to send me to? I'll just go to the movies and have a drink there instead.
Way more fun.
Evil Dead looks just terrifying. It is a reboot of the Evil Dead franchise. The producers of the original, Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell and all those guys, they're involved in this as well. Jane Levy stars along with Shiloh Fernandez and Jessica Lucas. If you'd like to go, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers to get through, we'll get a pair of passes to our special advance screening of Evil Dead. Dave, the King of Mexico, said, nope, too scary. Can't go. Can go.
He doesn't go to mildly scary movies.
Can go.
He won't.
Can go.
I've tried.
Yeah, he's paralyzed with fear from the trailer, which is admittedly pretty terrifying. Yeah. One more quick thing before we get to the showbiz news. The U.S. Postal Service blows, and the Belgian Postal Service is the best.
And you say that, A, because Bean loves, inexplicably, the Postal Service. And B, why?
Because it's fact, first of all.
Right.
The Belgian Post Office has released chocolate stamps for Easter.
Chocolate?
Yep.
You lick them and they're chocolate?
It's like Willy Wonka.
That's the best.
You lick the stamp and it tastes like chocolate. Hmm. Pictures of chocolate on the front. And essence of cocoa oil in the glue tastes like chocolate when you lick it and put it on your envelope.
That is fantastic.
For your Easter cards.
That's strong.
Imagine Mug. Mug would just eat an entire roll of stamps. Would never even mail anything.
Toss them in the trash when they're out of...
No, he would just eat the stamp.
Swallow it.
His colon would be... would have sufficient postage to get to the United States by the time he was done. Yeah, it's the greatest thing ever, and that's why we suck. That's why the U.S. Postal Service is struggling, because they don't come up with clever ideas like chocolate stamps.
Get on it, U.S.
Come on, U.S. Step up. Is Kim Kardashian putting her own... I'm sorry. Is porn star Kim Kardashian putting her own vanity above the needs of her child? Well,
yes.
Of course she is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course she is. Pictures in this week's Star magazine have led their resident plastic surgeons that they go to for this kind of stuff to examine the pictures and realize that she has extremely plump lips, plumper than she did the week before, leading their doctors to come to the conclusion that she had fillers put into her lips while she is now currently pregnant.
That's the injection?
Yeah.
To make them fatter?
Doctors say that is an extreme no-no when you're carrying a baby. You do not want to introduce that stuff into your bloodstream. Good times. Nice gal. Good girl. Come on. Come on.
A baby doesn't have a chance.
So many other ways she could plump her lips up.
Yes.
Makeup and stuff and things.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Hefner did an interview with Esquire magazine, which I think is ironic because forever they had been vicious, dire enemies against each other.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Esquire and Playboy throughout the pantheons of magazine history have been just arch enemies. But I guess nobody cares now because nobody reads magazines.
Right.
So it's not really much
nobody
of a
reads
battle.
One of them, so
That's
they're
right.
fine.
Did an interview with Esquire, claiming that he slept with over 1,000 women. To which I say, that's all?
Yeah.
That seems low. That seems low.
That doesn't seem like much. I mean, it does seem like a lot, but for him?
He said, how could I possibly know how many women I've slept with? Over 1,000, I'm sure. I think he's selling himself short,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, I do too.
However, he said, you have to remember, there were chunks of my life when I was married, and when I was married, I never cheated.
I don't buy that either.
So that took out some of his prime boning time.
I do buy it. What do you think, Ralph? I believe
that. I absolutely believe that he was faithful when he was married. I think he got married just to relax once in a while.
He would give himself a break.
He was like, oh, God, I'm going to get married. I gotta take a breather.
This need a sex vacation.
I got to take a knee.
I just pulled something.
That's right. He said, but I made up for it when I wasn't married. You have to keep your hand in, he said.
Sure.
Your hands, too?
Whoa.
Take it easy. F. And yesterday was his birthday. We're talking about the Vladimir Klitschko. You can flip the relationship meter on his relationship with Hayden Panettiere to the on position. There were rumors swirling that they had broken up and then reunited earlier this year, but they were confirmed this week by seeing the two of them at a Miami Heat game last weekend. The two were engaging in some serious kissy face in the stands during the game, so it looks like they are back together again officially. Congratulations, Klitsch.
I'd like a little less of that, a little more making new Nashvilles instead of being in reruns half the time.
Wow. Man.
Doesn't it seem like?
It seems a demanding task.
Every week you go for your Nashville and it's like either not on or it's in reruns.
What are they charging you for Nashville these days? I'm just wondering. What are you paying for that Nashville show? How much you?
I'm just saying we're getting fewer of those than we are a lot of other shows on prime time.
It's free. Shut up.
I'm saying make more.
I enjoy that show enormously.
That's what I'm saying about The Walking Dead. It's over Sunday for this season.
Yeah, how about that?
Oh,
but then, you know what? Next week, you know what we get? Boom, Mad Men. Boom. Oh, yeah. I forgot. Kevin has never seen an episode of Mad Men.
I set my TiVo, though.
Oh, good.
I'm going to get into it.
Got that going.
Everybody tells me it's good.
Today's celebrity birthday is just yesterday I said a big list. Forget about it. This today's biggest list ever of celebrities born. Leonard Nimoy, legendary Mr. Spock from Star Trek, 82 years old today. Alan Arkin. What a career this guy had throughout his whole life, but now lately he's just... Talk about Argo, Little Miss Sunshine, Burt Wonderstone. He's just in everything all the time.
And he's always great.
79 years old today. James Caan, legendary actor. From the Godfather series and other films, is 73. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 65. Martin Short, hilarious actor, 63 years old. Chris Hansen, I see you have some emails there.
Bean.
From Dateline NBC is 54. Jennifer Grey of Dirty Dancing fame is 53. Michael Imperioli of The Sopranos is 47. Leslie Mann, wife of director, that guy, and actress in her own right, is 41. T.R. Knight from Grey's Anatomy is 40. Amy Smart, talented actress, is 37 years old. And Keira Knightley celebrates her 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We're going to revisit our friends at My Strange Addiction coming up next. Yeah, she's addicted to drinking blood, so that happened, and that will be happening on your radio here shortly. First, though, actress Tilda Swinton is in the news. Kevin, what do you think of Tilda? You're a big fan, right?
Ugh. Two words. Ugh and Lee.
First of all, she's a very pretty lady who doesn't do anything to try to appear attractive. She goes out of her way to not make herself look good. I will grant you that. She's not an ugly woman.
She is ugly, and she's actively ugly. I think that's what bothers me is everybody does the best they can. I can only look so good, but, you know, you try. You try to exercise. You try to make yourself look good. Women put on makeup. They do. Right. Everyone does their best. She seems to really just go, hey, this is me, and I'm ugly, and deal with it.
She does wake up in the morning and go, what kind of sexual assault haircut can I give myself?
Yes. And she's super skinny.
She's a great actress, though.
She is a great actress. We're not talking about her talent.
I know. I just want to, for people who don't recognize the name, she's the White Witch from the Chronicles of Narnia movies, and she was in Moonrise Kingdom and Benjamin Button and just tons of other great movies. Michael Clayton. She's a great, great actress. Well, she's in the news this week because she's also a little bit of an artsy, fartsy type person. She's the star of the new David Bowie video, for instance, where she plays David Bowie because they do look a lot alike.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that tells you everything you need to know.
And now she can be found at the New York City Museum of Modern Art. Several times in the next few months, you are going to show up at the museum to look at the paintings on the wall. And what you're going to find is actress Tilda Swinton sleeping in a glass box in the middle of one of the museum rooms.
I just tweeted a picture of this. And it's basically people walking around and there's a giant glass box. And it really is just this ugly beast. Asleep.
She's not an ugly beast.
She's an ugly beast, Bean.
She ugly. She ugly. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
And I'm only being mean again because she does. It's not that she doesn't try to be pretty. She tries to be ugly.
She is just, she's fully clothed, and she's just laying on a bed, basically. There's nothing but pillows in there and a jug of water, and that's it. You just go by, and she's just sleeping, and people are standing around like they're looking at a big fish tank. And as interesting as that sounds...
Don't get me started on art, either.
I don't understand how it's art. I don't know why watching somebody sleep is art. I mean, I guess anything that you look at, you can say is art.
Because they call it art. That's why.
But isn't something that happens in every home in America, isn't that not exceptional enough to be art?
People that ugly are not sleeping in every home
She's
in America.
She's not ugly. Well, we asked producer Dave if he can line somebody up that can maybe explain this thing to us. And Rex Tyler joins us on the phone. He is actually the curator of the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. And Mr. Tyler, we appreciate you joining us today, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
We're good. We don't quite understand this whole Tilda Swinton sleeps in a box thing.
Obviously.
Oh, you heard the conversation?
Yes.
Yeah.
I heard you say, don't get me started on art.
Well, this being art is only, quote, art because someone calls it that. It is just someone sleeping.
Actually, that's not what it is. Surprise, surprise, you're wrong.
Okay. Well, set me straight. What is it?
The installation is called The Maybe.
The Maybe.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And the concept is not Tilda Swinton sleeping in a box. The fact is that all of her appearances at the museum are completely unscheduled and unannounced.
Okay, that makes it art?
Well, if you're traveling through the museum and you happen upon Tilda Swinton, Oscar-winning actress in a glass box sleeping, that's a bit of a surprise, wouldn't you think?
Well, not if you know that she's supposed to be there sleeping in a box.
But the thing is, you don't know she's supposed to be there. You could go there one day and she's not there. You come back the next day, suddenly she's there.
Right, if she's not there, is it art? Just an empty
Absolutely.
Box?
Absolutely.
It is.
Because the concept of the maybe is that, like in real life, it's filled with turns and surprises and things you don't expect, or you expect some things and they don't come true. Life is one big maybe.
Huh. So it doesn't really matter what's in the box then. That's kind of irrelevant to what you're telling us, right? Is that the point
That's
is
right.
It's, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not.
The audience evokes a feeling of surprise and anticipation and disappointment. It is representative of life. That's what the installation is significant for. It evokes an emotional response.
And that emotional response when she is there is horror. Am I right? Am I right? Those are your two options.
Mr. Tyler, you still with us, sir?
Barely.
What's the reaction been like from museum goers there, sir?
The reaction, as you expect, has been spectacular. People are truly moved by the installation, and it's one of our more popular pieces at the museum. So much so that we're going to invoke several other installations featuring celebrities that will also be there to represent a bigger picture, something larger in the sense of what happens in real life for those people who can understand it.
Wow.
Don't talk down to me, sir.
What?
Well
what,
said.
Thank you.
And point proven. What other kinds of installations might you do after the Tilda Swinton is done?
Well, we have a contract we've just signed with former star of the $6 Million Man, Lee Majors.
Okay.
We're going to juxtapose Lee Majors, an elderly actor, with several children under the age of 18 to show the difference in life between aging and youth. We call the installation Majors and Minors.
Okay.
All right.
We also have Anne Hathaway, another Oscar-winning actress.
Yes.
Uh-huh. We're going to put her in the center of a maze, and you have to try to find her. Much like in life, we're all trying to find our way in life.
Ah.
We call it Which Way Hathaway.
Okay. All right.
We're taking a guided tour through the colon of Khloe Kardashian.
Oh, wow. Who has got that kind of stamina?
We'll set you up with a rope tied around your waist and a spelunker's helmet and lower you inside. Because in the end, really, we all become waste, don't we, at the end of our lives?
Really, and that's art?
These shells we walk around in. Now, you have to sign up for that because we only have room for 400 people per trip. We're going to take Honey Boo Boo
yes.
from the popular reality show, and we're going to slather her in honey and put her in a box with several million soldier ants.
Okay,
who will
I like
attack
this.
And bite her.
Okay, this sounds like I'm on board.
It's called Honey Boo Boos, because they will be biting her and eating the honey off of her, showing that life is filled with small, irritating little things that, when you add up, can probably kill you.
That one seems to have some merit.
We're talking to Andy Dick.
Andy Dick, all right.
Who will take Tilda Swinton's place occasionally. So we'll have Dick in a box.
That'll be very popular with the young museum goers.
It will be, indeed.
How will we be able to tell the difference?
Who doesn't want Dick in their box? And, of course, we're also going to take a fat, mentally challenged person, tie them to the wall, and give the viewers a flamethrower to incinerate him.
That's a terrible idea.
We call that fire beer mug.
Hey, that's an excellent idea.
Sounds kind of boring.
Sometimes it can be, but not with My Strange Addiction.
Not ever.
Not with that show on TLC.
At least I forgot. Refresh my memory. TLC stands for?
Freak Show Network.
That's right, the Freak Show Network. And they are back with their show, My Strange Addiction. This week's episode, let's meet our new friend, Michelle, shall we?
My name is Michelle. I am 29 years old. I am a tattoo artist, and I am addicted to drinking animal blood.
Yeah, that's what she's doing, is drinking animal blood, which she goes to a store in Lancaster and just buys it in tubs, like you're buying macaroni salad or something, just tubs of pig blood. I don't know what's going on in Lancaster.
They just sell it? She doesn't have to get it?
What? Yeah, they just sell pig blood. Thank God she's not going out catching her own pigs. Let's learn a little bit about Michelle's habit, shall we?
Blood is as important as water to me. I like to drink blood when I'm reading, when I'm relaxing, when I'm watching TV, when I'm painting. It's never a bad time for me to drink blood.
Michelle has been addicted to drinking animal blood for the past 10 years. She needs 7 liters a week to satisfy her cravings and can't start her day without a sip.
By the way, 7 liters a week turns out to 8 gallons a month she drinks, by the way.
How do you – we always have this question. How did you get started doing that? Why would you drink it the first time?
And that's coming up. All that's coming up on the show.
All right.
She spends $200 a month on blood, by the way. She has to carve that out of her grocery budget. $200 a month just for blood.
I wake up in the morning, I pour it into my coffee cup.
Yeah.
I drink it. I get energized. I like to cook with blood. I like to make it in soup. I like to cook it with stir fry. When I make Bloody Marys, I use vodka, hot sauce, and then I add the final touch. The blood.
See, she's the only one who knows how to really make Bloody Marys.
Oh, God.
I love bloody stir fry. That is
and
the best.
And I got to tell you, you know, all of these shows have a certain amount of cringe factor. But when you are watching somebody with a big old glass like you or I would drink milk or lemonade or beer or something like that, and it's just filled to the brim with blood, and she's just gulping.
She doesn't cut it with anything or add water?
No.
Who's hungry?
No.
If you're eating breakfast, maybe now's the time to put it just back away from the bowl of cereal for a minute.
God.
Let's find out what kinds of blood she prefers.
I prefer pig's blood to beef blood because I prefer the gaminess. It's a little bit more salty than the beef blood.
Now, she is still talking about blood here, right?
I know.
The consistency is like that of wine. It's just slightly thicker. And it doesn't taste like wine, but... It definitely has the same ambiance.
Uh-huh.
I feel it going down my throat. It's like having a cold and drinking a hot toddy. I get irritable without it. I get angry. I don't want to leave my house. I want my blood.
Wouldn't you, if you were Michelle, kill the piano player?
What a...
He's bringing me down.
Hey, can you play that piano a little softer?
What do you think Michelle looks like, by
the way? Oh, a hideous beast.
Lisa, what do you think? Hideous beast?
I'm going to say she's way overweight. Probably doesn't do a lot with her hair or her
Well,
makeup.
She shaves half of it, if that's what you mean.
Okay.
She has, I think, everything pierced. Her nose is pierced. Her cheek is pierced. Her lips, each of them are pierced. She's got a chain that runs from one ear to her nose.
Oh, my God.
She's doing everything she possibly can to I don't know what, to feel something in this world?
I don't know.
I was thinking, what's going on with Michelle? Do you think she had an exceptionally happy childhood? Let's find out.
Michelle's addiction began as a teenager when she was struggling with a deep depression.
Oh.
When you feel so beaten down, that's all you know. You don't even want to leave your bedroom. You don't have friends. Nothing. which is why I started self-mutilating.
Okay, well, now it's just a bummer.
Yes.
So now she's just crazy drinking blood with a miserable childhood as a self-mutilator. I guess when she cut herself, Kevin, is when she started becoming attracted to the idea of drinking her own blood.
When I saw that blood drip down my arm for the first time, I felt real.
What?
One day, I just decided to taste it. And
sure.
Been tasting it ever since.
Yeah, of course you have, Michelle.
Once Michelle overcame her depression, she stopped tasting her own blood.
I haven't actually cut myself for years. I associated personal self-mutilation with severe issues. And once I got past that, I never looked back.
All right, so she's not drinking, please note the choice of words, her own blood anymore.
Right?
What does that mean?
But Michelle's addiction has reached a shocking level.
I drink human blood as much as I can.
So she's got friends that she cuts and sucks the blood out of them. She's very offended if anyone calls her a vampire, though. She says it's not like that at all.
Is she Team Edward or Team Jacob?
She didn't mention, didn't come up at all, but she basically will just cut you with a razor and then just put her mouth on you and just suck the blood out of you.
Here's the thing, though. I get the call from her that she wants me to come over, and I say, busy.
Busy, right, exactly. Well, you can imagine that her mom was devastated to hear the news because her daughter's already a freak show and now she's drinking blood. Even her coworkers at the tattoo parlor in Lancaster are saying, seriously, you know, there's a lot of things in blood that maybe you don't want in your body. Like, none of this is tested or anything. Maybe you ought to go to a doctor. And a lot of people have suggested maybe Michelle needs to get some medical help. But here's what she has to say about that idea.
I haven't actually had a sit down just like, yo, doc, what's up with my blood drinking?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Only because I don't want to have to deal with, you know, just telling me constant negatives, negatives, negatives.
I was going to go to the doctor, but they're such downers about stuff.
You
know
what I
mean?
They tell you you can't do things.
They're just harping all the time, blah, 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 don't drink blood. Well, she eventually does get talked into it, and the doctor has some news for her after all of her tests are run.
The results of your tests are back, and I'm happy to say that viral studies, which included the hepatitis and HIV, were negative.
Okay, so the great news is she's not dying from the blood, but the doctor points out that you're not supposed to eat uncooked pork, and if you're drinking pig's blood, there's a lot of things in that blood that can make you sick.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And that maybe not a good idea. Maybe you should consider stopping.
The main thing that I got from this doctor's visit is that I'm going to definitely make it more of a habit to come to the doctor, get my blood tested. But from where I stand now, my blood drinking will not stop.
Oh, good for you. God. Do not buckle to the man.
Thank God she went to the doctor and he said, whatever you do, don't keep doing it. And she said, I'm in, Doc.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
Jake Johnson, who plays Nick on New Girl on Fox, joins us later this morning here on The Kevin and Bean Show. And the beautiful Adrian Palicki from G.I. Joe is all coming up. Plus, don't forget, we've got your tickets for weekend number one of Coachella on the way in about, less than a half an hour or so from right now on The Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, morning.
Sure.
Good morning, Ralph. What's going on with you?
Absolutely. Gwyneth Paltrow's opening a blow bar.
A blow bar?
Yep.
I like the sound of it. $5.
When I hear that, I got two options in my mind, I'm thinking.
Both good.
One of them usually comes in a bindle.
Right.
You chop it into lines. The other one, yeah, look, it's Gwyneth Paltrow, but, you know, any port in a storm. That's who I am looking at the second option.
No.
Turns out neither one. Lisa,
no.
You want to tell the boys
it's
what a blow bar is?
You go in there and get your hair blow dried.
Yes.
Boo.
Really?
Yes.
What a misleading name.
Women, fellas, are so goddamn lazy these days that they don't even blow dry their own hair anymore.
It's not that. It's that sometimes we're not very good at it. And if we have some event or something, or we just want to look extra good.
Me no able hold hair dryer to
you
head.
You don't know. There's skill involved.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
Right.
She's opening a blow bar where you go in and get your hair blown dry. It's going to happen here in Los Angeles. She is teaming up with celebrity hairstylist David Babahi and her personal trainer, Tracy Anderson, who must be there to help you lift the heavy hair dryer,
sure.
I guess.
Please, let's guess how much this costs for just a
no word on what it'll be called yet. No word on how expensive it's going to be. But if Gwyneth Paltrow's involved,
right,
expected to be way over your budget. Anyone's budget.
Yes, totally.
$120
agree.
Bucks for a blow job.
Nah, too much. Not enough. More. What's it run you now, Lisa, when you go to...
There's a place called, a bunch of them, called Dry Bar.
Dry Bar.
And I think it's around $35.
$35. Gwyneth Paltrow's, I'm guaranteeing you'll be triple
sure.
that. Triple that.
Sure.
It'll be, she'll price it.
It'll be so much better,
it'll
Ralph.
It'll be so much more expensive that you won't be... Like, one person a week will go in. It'll just be... Just have one chair in there, and it'll just have a room full of mirrors.
On the good side, it'll close soon.
That's true. While we're talking about beauty and all things lovely, Kate Upton in the news.
That's what I'm talking about.
Last week, we were talking about the fact that Jake Davidson... Los Angeles high school senior asked the lovely Sports Illustrated model to be his date to the prom. Went on YouTube, put a video up there. Kate saw the video, tweeted him about it. He went on Today Show to talk about it. She called in, said, absolutely, I will be your date. As long as I can clear my schedule, I'll be there. Well, turns out Kate simply couldn't clear her schedule.
What? I'm shocked.
For the May 23rd dance. And so, Jake Davidson... No supermodel for you.
God, she's hot. Playboy hot.
You like fine dining? I like fine dining. You are in Sports Illustrated. I read Sports Illustrated. I would like you to be my date.
He said in the video.
Who was the first person that did this? Was it?
We were talking about that last week. We were trying to figure
a
it out.
A
soldier asked Mila Kunis, we think, as a date to the Marine Corps ball.
Now it's just going completely
now
out
it's just,
of
just everything. That, hey, I'm going to get a loaf of bread at the supermarket. Hey, Kate Winslet, would you like to come with me? I'd be honored if you pushed my grocery cart. Just any event now, people are inviting celebrities to via YouTube.
And then Justin Timberlake got invited to a couple things, and then Betty White, and most recently Bruno Mars got an invitation.
Yeah, stop it, people. That's what we're saying. Right?
Yes. That's
what
go with people you know.
That's what I told Kate Upton when she asked me. I was like, no, you got to say no. Because then
she asked you to this guy's prom?
No, she asked me if she should go, and I said, of course not. You open that gate, it'll never end.
Right. What were you guys doing when she asked you about that?
Well, you know.
Blow bar.
You went to the blow bar to get your hair done?
Yes.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Leonard Nimoy. Live long and prosper, everyone.
Ralph's doing the hand signal. You can't see it.
Yeah. I call this the Spocker. Remember yesterday we talked about the Shocker? This one I call the Spocker.
Is that also a Shocker?
Well, it is. It's bonus because you get the four fingers involved instead of just the three of a Shocker.
Was he on Fringe? Was that the last thing he did, Ralph?
I believe it is, yeah.
Yeah.
He is famously retired from show business. Although he did a quick voiceover on Big Bang Theory as well. He did the voice of a Mr. Spock action figure. That may have been the actual last thing he did.
Awesome.
Alan Arkin celebrates his 79th birthday today. James Caan is 73. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith turned 65. Martin Short is 63 years old today. So funny on SNL a couple weeks ago when... Who was it? I guess Timberlake joined the Five Times Hosting Club.
That's right. Yeah.
And they did a big sketch about this bar there's on the set where all the Five Time Hosters hang out. And Steve Martin was there.
Oh,
and,
really? That's
awesome. Tom Hanks and Alec Baldwin. And Martin Short was just like serving drinks. He was just the waiter in that place. Chris Hansen of Dateline NBC is 54. Jennifer Grey is 53. Michael Imperioli is 47 years old today. Leslie Mann celebrates her 41st birthday. Amy Smart is 37. Keira Knightley is 28 years old, and James Iha from Smashing Pumpkins turns 45 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
All this week here on K-Rock, we are giving you tickets for, well, not just tickets, but three-day passes to Coachella weekend number one, and you get to go to the Coachella house with exclusive live performances from all sorts of bands that are there for the weekend. We got it for you in the this half hour. Around 7:20, between 7:20 and 7:30. You also have in the 11 o'clock hour, the 4 o'clock hour, the 7 o'clock, and 9 o'clock hour tonight. So lots of chances for you to win your Coachella tickets. You can get all the details, a complete schedule of giveaways at krock.com.
Let's talk about Legit.
Okay.
Let's talk about that show, the Jim Jeffries show.
How funny is that show, by the way?
It is so unbelievably funny. If you're easily offended, maybe it's not for you.
You know, we had Andy Dick in last week, Kevin, while you were on vacation, who, you know, we love, longtime friend of the program. And he recently did a guest appearance on Legit. And we were saying, you know, we wanted the best for Jim Jeffries because we like him so much. And we really wanted the show to be funny. But it really blew us away at how great it is.
I mean,
it's one of the funniest shows on TV.
Agreed. And there was recap the little kid that's never been to the beach.
There's a kid that Jim Jeffries comes in contact with who's a high schooler. I don't know. He's 16, 17 years old. And he loves the idea of going to the beach. Always has wanted to go to the beach. Lives in Southern California. Has never been to the beach. It turns out because he thought you had to pay to go to the beach.
Oh. He said it was only for rich white people.
Yeah, he thought rich white people go to the beach. I can't go to the beach, right? Jim Jeffries says it's free to go to the beach. I mean, you got to find parking, of course, but other than that, it's anyone can go to the beach, right? So he takes him to the beach, and we started having a conversation in the office that I think may be interesting to take some phone calls from you, the Kevin and Bean listeners, at 1-800-520-1067. The things in Southern California that you've always wanted to do and you never have, because I still meet people who have never been to Disneyland. And that amazes me. Look, I'm no huge fan of Disneyland. I don't care if I...
I love them and everything they do.
No, I think they're a phenomenal place. They're just not for me. But I can't imagine not wanting to go there at least once. At least not to see it. I mean, it's a magical place that everyone should go to once, right? At least?
Right, and if you live in the city... And you want to, it's fascinating that you haven't been able to make it happen at this point.
At least once.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Right. You want to go to the beach and you live in Southern California?
And you've never been. It's like when we talked to people one time on the show, remember, who have never been to Las Vegas, love the idea of Las Vegas, think they'd have a great time, but have never just pulled the trigger and gotten their car and driven 5 hours to get there, which is shocking to me. Like weekend after weekend after weekend goes by, not one time can you go to Las Vegas?
I imagine that this comes down to money most of the times. You know, Disneyland isn't completely cheap.
Yeah.
The beach, however, is.
Or having friends who do it. Like, I was really late to going to the local mountains to ski. Like, I had never skied until I was 22, and I grew up here, and I had never gone to Las Vegas until I was probably 22 or 23, but then I had a friend who did that stuff all the time, and I went with her.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So it doesn't cost you so much because you're going with a friend.
And Lisa, she knew what to do. Like, sure. I didn't know what to do.
You were telling us off the air, and I thought this was amazing, particularly for, you know, those of us who have lived in Southern California, that you have friends in Oklahoma who had no idea what the sound of the surf was.
Yeah, they thought that was the cameras. You know, when they would see it on TV, they thought that noise was the cameras. They had no idea.
You have dumb friends.
I mean, this was years ago, and they were young, you know.
Were
probably
they four?
12, 13.
Okay.
They just didn't know.
If you've never been to the ocean, I can sort of understand that you don't know that's the noise that the water makes when it comes on the sand.
I don't know.
Right?
Doesn't it seem like that? So you see the waves, right? And they hit the ground.
They just hadn't thought about it before.
Well, it's not as impressive if you live in the Midwest and you've never been to the beach. But if you live in Southern California, you're literally
probably
30 to 45 minutes from any beach.
So we want to take some calls. What's the thing in Southern California that you've always wanted to do and never have? 1-800-520-1067. Beer Mug, you were just telling us your girlfriend, who's lived here a number of years now, has always wanted to do what?
She hasn't been to the L.A. Zoo, and she's always been wanting to go.
And that's not expensive.
No.
Yeah, there's a lot of free times to go to the zoo. And that's the type of thing you could go anytime, right? And question of making it happen, I guess. From the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, the La Brea Tar Pits, I've always wanted to go to, says Rebecca, never has been. Again, you literally can just drive by it. You don't even have to get into your car to go to the tar pits.
Yeah, it's not that good. Just go ahead and drive by.
Andrew says Jumbo's Clown Room. Well, there's no excuse for missing out on Jumbo's Clown Room. Jorge, the Hollywood Bowl. I've lived in Los Angeles my entire life. I've always wanted to go to the Hollywood Bowl. Now, I don't know if that's just a money thing or he's just been waiting for the right show or something like that, but I would say System of a Down coming up. That's how you want to go to the Hollywood Bowl, because that's probably the last time that they'll ever have a concert there. I think they'll probably close it down after those guys are done with it. So those are some of the examples of local landmarks that our listeners are weighing in with. 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Mike. Let's see what Mike's got going on. He's on line two to get us going here.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. How are you?
Good. You've lived here. You've always wanted to go where and have never made it.
I always wanted to go to Big Bear, but I never could. It's expensive. I got to buy equipment and never have a chance.
You know, you can rent equipment. It's expensive, but it's not. I mean, you don't have to buy equipment.
Yeah, I just never had the chance to do it yet. Mm.
Have you ever been in snow, by the way, Mike?
Never. Since kindergarten, the first time I've seen snow, and that's the last time I've seen snow.
Wow. We were talking while you were gone, Kevin, about people who have never been in snow, and there are a lot of them.
Yeah, I imagine.
There are a lot of them, yeah. Yeah, get up to Big Bear one of these days, man. You'll have a great time. You really will.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for the call.
Good tip, Bean. He wants to go? Go.
Let's talk to Rhiannon and try to talk her out of her all-time wish of a place she wants to go in Southern California.
Hey, Rhiannon.
Good morning.
Where have you always wanted to go?
I have always wanted to go to medieval times. I was born and raised in Buena Park, and I've never been.
Born and raised in Buena Park, and you've never been.
How far away is medieval times from where you live?
Literally, like a block.
Yes, literally.
What? Why haven't you just walked in?
It seems like timing or money or something's always coming up to where I've never been, and I've always wanted to go. I even told my husband, let's go for my birthday, and something always happens to where we can't go, and it just taunts me. It's just right there.
You live a block away.
I've got friends that work there and everything. I've still never been.
Are you a big drinker? Rhiannon, are you a big drinker?
Not anymore. I'm 8 months old, so not anymore.
It takes some alcohol to make that place work.
It is funny, though, that you live a block away from a place that's open like 363 days a year, and you still haven't been.
I know. I've been to Knott's tons of times, been to Disneyland tons of times. Never been, or the Wax Museum, but that's closed down, so whatever.
Yeah, I think
that's awesome.
I think you're all right, Rhiannon.
Thank you very much for the call. Stephanie writes in, the Hollywood Forever Cemetery and Griffith Observatory, both places on her list. Both places that are free to go to, by the way, Stephanie. It's just a question of just driving there one day. All right, we'll take a break. We want your calls at 1-800-520-1067. The Southern California place you've always wanted to go to, but you've never been. We have to figure out why, and we'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. I am a grown-ass person who has lived in Southern California my whole life. I've always wanted to go to where and never have. That's the question here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. By the way, talk to actress Adrienne Palicki coming up here in just a minute from G.I. Joe. First, though, let's go to Joey. Let's find out what's going on with Joey. What's his damage on line 8, please?
Hey, Joey.
Hey, guys.
What's your damage?
I've lived in Southern California for 26 years now, and I've never been up to the Hollywood sign.
And you've always wanted to?
Well, sort of. It's a landmark down here.
It is. Now, when you say, you know, it's not a tourist attraction that is open for business that you can go up and climb around on or anything like that. I mean, you can get close to it. But do you mean you've never seen it, or you've never just driven up to where it is on the mountain?
Right. Yeah, I know you can get close to it. I just want to get close to it. I've seen it. Everyone's seen it. I just want to.
Joey, you just want to drive. You just want to take that left on Gower and just drive up the mountain.
Exactly.
Joey's got a can of spray paint. It's just waiting.
He's also known as Banksy. Coincidentally. So, thank you very much for the call. I would say that, again, let's add that to the long list of things that are free and easy to do. Got a Facebook post from a Kevin to Be listener who says she's lived here her whole life, has never been to the Santa Monica Pier. Again, free and easy to do. Let's try Laura. Laura is on line 4, and I bet she's got one that a lot of people would agree with.
Hey, Laura.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi there.
You've never been where?
I've never been to Catalina Island.
Hmm. Catalina. But now, that takes a little bit of money.
Yeah, it does. What do you suppose the problem is there? I mean, you have had the opportunity to go. Why haven't you?
I think I'm scared I'll get sick from the boat.
Oh, yeah.
And just not be able to enjoy it.
I hear you.
I've heard so many people get sick.
Remember we did a singles party over there?
Yes.
And that boat back... It was a sex fest.
It was. That's true. And a pass out fest.
I've rarely seen anything like that.
Yeah, it was intense.
That's how you need to go so that you're distracted from the fact that you're on a boat.
Good idea.
Exactly. Thank you for the call, Laura. Appreciate that. Let's try Michael. Michael's on line 2. Again, super easy thing to do. Michael's never done it. Michael, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Where have you never been?
I've never been to the Man's Chinese Theater.
You know it's just going to the movies, right? It's just funny. Going to the movies.
Well, you got the handprints and all that. You get to take a picture with Batman.
It's as easy as going to the movies is what I mean. That's why I can't believe he hasn't done it. Have you ever been to a movie theater?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's funny because I just went to the – I passed by this weekend because I went to the Death Museum right there on Hollywood Boulevard, and I drove by it, and I was like, hey, I've never even seen these handprints before right here.
Hey, sure would like to pull over, but can't.
That's exactly it.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Let me close with this one from our longtime Kevin to Be listener, Edwin. Party people, I'm 49 years old. I've lived in Southern California my entire life. I have never been to Lisa May's vagina. I email her all the time. She turns me down. It's very upsetting. I've wanted it since I was 17. It still hasn't happened. Thank you, Edwin.
You have to get on the waiting list, though. It's quite extensive.
It used to be open for tours, but
it's totally worth the wait, though.
All right. We're going to clear the line so we can do this.
Call
$520 gets a pair of 3-day passes to Coachella and an invite to the K-Rod Party House. 800-520-1067.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:37. We were a little bit late. We tried to hit 7:20. We gave it our best shot.
Yeah.
You can win Coachella tickets at 7:20, 11, 24, 27, 20, and 9:20 p.m. Our winner this morning is Dan Clark from Manhattan Beach. Got 3-day passes.
Dan does good work.
Does he?
I like Dan. Yeah, he does good work.
Strikes me as pretty shaky.
I think he's all right.
All right.
So congratulations, Dan. Thanks a lot for listening. G.I. Joe Retaliation, Kevin. This movie has everything you look for in a film, and by that I mean it's super loud. And it has everything I look for in a film, and by that I mean Adrian Palicki is in it, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Adrian, welcome to the program, my dear. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing great. G.I. Joe. Crazy. You're in G.I. Joe. You're in a movie with Bruce Willis and The Rock. What's up?
That's surreal. I know.
That's a good question.
I was shooting and I was like, what is my life? I'm doing this now.
That's a good question. What's up?
What's up? No, I mean, like, I saw the commercial last night. I was watching something. I saw the commercial. It's that scene where Bruce Willis, I guess it's the first time you meet him or something like that. He's in the back of a truck that you're driving, and you turn around, and there's Bruce Willis. Him, look, I don't care that you're a professional and that you've been in show business for a long time. At some point, it has to freak you out that you're doing a scene with John McClane. There's no way around that.
I have to say, like, when I first met him, we got along so well, and, like, the banter in the movie that you'll see is all real, like, on and off set. We had the best time, but there were a couple moments where he'd be talking, and he'd do his squinty eyes, and I go, oh, my God, there's John McClane, and just trying to hold it together within a scene. Like,
right.
What is my life?
Exactly.
What is my life? That was my first crush ever.
Wow, oh, that's interesting.
Well,
how about
him,
that?
Him and Rod Stewart. So don't ask me about
that one. All right, we won't.
But unfortunately, you're too old for Bruce Willis now, so he'll never date you. So that's a problem.
That's a slam on him, not you.
Yeah, of course, of course. Now, I want to hear about this because whenever we have somebody on who does this kind of movie where they have to train with real-life Navy SEALs, I always wonder how a regular civilian is able to handle something like that. How tough is it, Adrian?
Well, there were lots of tears. Not from me, from the guys.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nice.
No, it was hard. Like, I thought I was in the best shape of my life before this movie, but I had no idea what kind of stamina it takes to do a film like this. I mean, it was insane. We did, like, a month and a half, 8 hours a day, working with Navy SEALs, stunt training, choreography.
Did you get to shoot any of the big guns?
Oh, I got to shoot huge guns. I mean, you know, not as big as in Red Dawn. Red Dawn, I got to shoot a 50 cal.
Yeah, it's the best. That's nice.
I need to get a 50 cal.
I think everybody... No, I'm kidding.
The NRA is going to use you in an ad. You're going to see yourself on a TV commercial.
That's why I didn't finish the sentence. That's a terrible soundbite.
But I'm always curious. I mean, do they just want to get you to a point where you look convincing on screen? I mean, that's really what they're trying to do. They're not trying to whip you into any kind of actual shape. They don't make you run 10 miles or anything like that with a backpack, right?
No. You do that, you know, on your own time.
Sure.
With your personal trainer. But no, it's more about, like, you know, how you walk with a gun and how you shoot and, you know, all that stuff. It's really important because, and the crazy thing is, I mean, there's no females in the Navy SEALs. So,
oh,
you know, I got to, yeah, it felt very special for me.
Wow.
Well, you know,
that?
Just let me just butt in there for a second and say, you know, you're not a Navy SEAL, right?
You know what? I'd like to think I am.
Okay.
No, I'm definitely not a Navy SEAL. The stuff those guys do, I'm like, that was like going to, I don't know, the opera for them. You know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
right.
This is... The easiest
you know,
thing on the planet.
I saw, like many people, I saw, you know, Zero Dark Thirty in the last couple months, and you just can't imagine, and I know we're off topic here, Adrian, but you just can't imagine what it's like to be the guy in the helicopter that gets dropped into enemy territory in the pitch black dark with an assignment to go into a building that could be heavily fortified to shoot somebody. You just can't imagine, like, what kind of person can do that? It's almost, they're almost like superhuman, those guys.
They are. They're like real-life superheroes. I mean... And the cool thing about these guys is that, you know, they come to set, they come to work, and they're the funniest, coolest, goofiest guys, and it's amazing how they can just turn that off. I mean, the things that they've seen and they've done. So these guys were, like, straight from Afghanistan when they came to train us.
Wow.
But,
crazy.
Like,
I'll bet that's a different experience for you than it would be for me.
I didn't understand that either, Adrian. Hey,
she's hot. She's a hot chick. She's a hot chick. I'm a guy.
We never
understand. The Navy SEALs.
Oh, Kevin's talking about. Tell me about, because I know there are ladies listening who want to know, what it's like being up close and personal with Channing Tatum, because he seems to be America's crush right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I've known Channing for, you know, I knew him a little bit before the movie, and, you know, he's awesome. He's a big goofball. Like, he's just so sweet. You know, he would randomly break into dance moves between takes, which was fun for me. But, like, the whole movie, I mean, there's some hot men in this movie, not just Channing.
Right.
So I think for ladies, you know, there's a lot of man meat.
Yeah, there's a little...
Good to know.
Now, that will be on the poster. This is the voice of actress Adria Blicky here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about G.I. Joe Retaliation. By the way, if my facts in front of me are correct here, Adrian, this movie is not opening up on Friday. It's actually out on Thursday. Is that true?
On Thursday, yes.
Wow.
Crazy.
Check you out. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I insist.
No, someone else go.
No, please. No, you go.
This is the kind of professionalism you deserve. Let's hear a clip from the movie. I think you'll get an idea of why we're so excited about this.
Move out!
Let me see.
Don't touch.
Girls with guns.
That's got me all over it.
It's all you need to know. Yep. It's all you need to know. It's got everything right there. All right. G.I. Joe the movie opens up on Thursday. G.I. Joe Retaliation is actually what it's called. It's always awesome when we get a chance to talk to you. You're one of our faves. Thanks a lot for coming on, Adrian.
Thank you for having me, guys.
You bet. Thanks.
Dwayne from Torrance asks, what the hell was Kevin trying to say to Adrian Palicki anyway? America went silent with confusion in his comments. Damn it, Kevin. Don't confuse the hot chick. P.S. Fire beer mug. Thanks, Dwayne. That's an excellent point.
That was just a non-stop deluge of weirdity.
She said the SEALs were so nice and happy to meet me, and I was making a point that she's a hot chick. Right. It would be very different if they were meeting me. Uh-huh. That's all. It's very easy.
When you say it that way.
Oh.
And then Bean's like, oh, you're much too old for Bruce Willis now.
He's like, what?
Oh, no, it was Bruce Willis, not you.
No, that was me. I was trying to make up for it. I go, oh, he was talking about you.
Just a mess. Just,
no, I think she got the joke was on Bruce Willis, junk. Not on her. She got, you
no,
all got that,
no,
right?
She didn't get that.
I think
she,
more yes, people,
she did. She was taken aback by that.
More people got that than mine. I'll give you that.
Look, the point is we shouldn't be allowed to talk to stars. That's the point.
Wow.
Okay?
Just stepping on your own junk at every opportunity. It was amazing.
I think it went 54. Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat.
That's your truest gift, Kevin. It really is. That is the thing that just keeps you moving and just getting out of bed every morning.
It's what keeps me from killing myself.
It's amazing.
Kevin is a guy who strikes out on three pitches and walks back to the dugout and goes, nailed it.
Nailed it.
Those were solid swings. I did not connect, but the just the motion, my technique, it's all there.
Next
all
time there. It's possible,
next
I'll connect.
Next time I'm going to crush it. Yeah. Kevin may be the Lindsay Lohan of radio.
How? Probably.
Yeah, Kevin's the Lindsay Lohan of radio. Listen to this story and tell me this isn't a Kevin. This isn't a total Kevin moment. Great story from RadarOnline.com. They've got some inside information from her attorneys, her legal team. Lindsay Lohan's instructions to Mark Heller and her defense team in dealing with prosecutors handling her lying to the cops case. These are her demands of Mark Heller. Keep me out of rehab until after Coachella.
That's
are you
that
kidding?
That happened.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God.
Here's the source's quote. Lindsay was adamant that she not be forced to go to rehab until after the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival in the Palm Springs
what
area.
What did you do?
On successive weekends in April. Lindsay loves going to the musical festival, and she's determined to go this year. She didn't want a little thing like a rehab to get in her way of attending.
Maybe they'll be at Coachella next year.
Lindsay refused to sign up on any deal that would have prevented her from going to Coachella, period. She's got a new boyfriend, a guy named Avi Snow, who is not only a musician, but a club promoter who's got all the ins there at Coachella. So she's determined to take advantage of her VIP status this year at Coachella and does not want to go and dry out until after the big party.
Sounds reasonable.
That's awesome.
Is that a Kevin? Awesome. That's a Kevin, right?
So a Kevin.
She's Kevining.
That sounds reasonable.
She's Kevining. She's Kevining. She's Kevining. I just can't get past it. It's the greatest.
All right,
story
it's ever. Like me. Move on. Yeah, hey, what's up?
Kevin, you may look for a new job.
Yeah.
Maybe looking for a new job. There's a new reality show.
Am I going to need one after Adrian Palicki?
You may. This might be for you. Because I know you love to sing. I know you love to perform to sold-out arenas.
Yeah.
All over the world.
That's my deal.
Spice Girls are looking for you. UK's Daily Mail reports that the Spice Girls are launching a reality show for wannabes.
See, that's one of their songs.
To compete for the spot vacated by Victoria Posh Spice Beckham. She's out, and they're going to hire a new Spice Girl to take her place, and then they're going to tour the world. You could be the new Spice Girl.
I'm not a girl.
Oh, you going to let a little thing like that stand in your way? Adrian Plickett, wow. Girl, and she's a Navy SEAL.
Yo, that's right. Tell me what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want.
What you really, really want.
I can do it.
You can do that. You want to.
Ralph, didn't they? You're the Spice Girls expert on
yes,
the show.
Yes, I am.
Didn't they go on for a while as a foursome when Ginger didn't want to be a part of their deal?
I don't think they did a tour. I think they may have performed a couple gigs.
I see. Okay.
But
they,
time,
they're not, they, want to, they don't want to do it without Posh, though.
Jerry Halwell, Melanie Brown, Emma Button, rather, and Melanie Chisholm are determined to get back together. Victoria's determined not to participate. Although, according to her reps, she wishes the other girls well and whatever they choose to do, but her singing days are over, her reps claim. No big loss to the singing world. But, yeah, soon a reality show to replace Who Wants to Be a Spice Girl?
All right.
Are they going to hire a young, hot Spice Girl? Or are they going to hire an age-appropriate Spice Girl?
I hope young, hot.
It would be a lot to see four...
That would be weird, yeah.
Four MILFs up there and then one little co-ed bouncing around. I don't think the
Maybe Willow
like
Smith
that
is the answer. Maybe that's what they're looking for.
They're super young. And congratulations to our buddy Seth Green. It's just been announced that he will be starring in a new upcoming sitcom for Fox called Dads. Seth and Tommy Dewey of the Mindy Project will play two successful 30-something guys whose fathers, played by Peter Riegert and Martin Mull, move back in with them.
Seth Green.
Seth Green?
Come on.
That's a good draw.
You got anything else?
I think that was
anything
the given.
Seth Green. There we go.
Yeah, that's good. That was the given at the beginning of the story with Seth Green.
Seth MacFarlane, a Family Guy, will produce.
Really?
So there's a little connection there between Seth and Seth.
Seth will be here on Monday. We can talk to him about it.
Seth Green?
He's coming in.
I love Seth Green.
I do, too.
He's a good man. Nice guy. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Leonard Nimoy from Star Trek is 82 years old today. Spock's 82.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Captain's 82, too.
Yeah, I was just going to say, wasn't his birthday just a few days ago?
Yeah. Alan Arkin is 79 years old. How great's Alan Arkin? James Caan from The Godfather, of course, and Brian Song in Las Vegas, that TV series, 73 years old. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 65. Martin Short, one of the funniest men on the planet. I saw his one-man show and blew me away.
Really?
Blew me away. I think, Bean, you and I went to that, didn't we? To go together
yes,
in New York?
Yes, we sure did. We were in New York, yeah.
Yeah, and I also saw it out here in L.A. as well. Amazing.
You guys holding hands?
Well, not hands. Chris Hansen of Dateline NBC.
I can't control my horny level.
Yeah, I know you feel, Chris. He's 54 years old. Jennifer Grey of Dirty Dancing and Ferris Bueller fame is 53. Michael Imperioli. You know Jennifer Grey? She's married to that Clark Gregg.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't
They're
know
a lovely
that.
Couple. Michael Imperioli is 47 years old. James Iha of Smashing Pumpkins is 45. Leslie Mann of This Is 40 and Knocked Up is 41. T.R. Knight from Grey's Anatomy is 40. Amy Smart from Shameless and Felicity. 37, and Keira Knightley celebrates her 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, before we talk to the guy about the thing, an update on something on yesterday's program. Remember you guys thought I was all creepy because I wanted to stuff Weird Al when he's dead and have him live in my house forever?
Don't talk like that in front of guests.
No, hold on a sec. This is important because I thought, hi Jake Johnson from New Girl, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I thought it was the best idea ever and a tremendous tribute to a man I love that when Weird Al dies, I was going to stuff him and have him put on my couch and then I could watch TV with him for eternity, right? So you guys were mocking me and telling me what a creepy, bad idea was. So I reached out to Al yesterday to make sure it was cool with him. And he wrote me back, not at all, not a problem. I'm sure my family won't mind. I will have my will adjusted accordingly. So Al is fine with it.
The difference is he was joking.
What?
You were. It's also Weird Al.
Right. Well, that's right. True.
It's not like normal Steve Jackson. It's Weird Al Yankovic.
He was saying that's the biggest tribute you could ever pay to somebody yes! that you love. Like Ralph loves 1960s Batman. So when Adam West passed away, God forbid, Bean was like, you got to get him stuffed and put
you
in your house.
You got to put Adam
West
in
your house. That's the creepiest thing we've ever heard.
It's horrifying.
Right? That's
really
what we thought.
Jake, I thought you would be on me. You seemed like a cool guy.
I'm going to say I'm 100% against stuffing a dead celebrity and watching TV with him. And I think that's a pretty normal answer.
And then Bean said, oh, I know the people will back me up. And we took calls and there was nobody that he wanted on his side.
There were a few who backed him up in the most creepy way.
Well, because they all wanted Angelina Jolie. And Pam Anderson when she was younger, because they had something completely different in mind than I did.
By the way,
hilarious.
I'm not sure that's true. I think you have that in mind for Weird Al as well.
How all right, dare
Let's
you?
Let's talk to the guy about the thing.
All right, hit the music, would you please?
Who's that girl?
Who's that girl?
Who's that girl?
Who's that girl?
It's just
shortest theme song on TV.
I think it might be. That is a joke called New Girl that we love, love, love so much. It's back with an all-new episode tonight at 9 on the Fox Channel. Our friend Jake Johnson has rejoined us in studio. Hi, Jake.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me back, guys.
Sorry about that whole beginning conversation.
No, that's honestly all I can think about now. And then there's an image of young Pamela Anderson. So I'm like, how do you go back in time and get her younger?
We couldn't figure
that
out. We couldn't figure that out either. Yeah. I think they were missing Bean's point, as were all of us.
Right. I think we need to go back to your time travel movie, The Safety Not Guaranteed.
There you go.
We need to figure out a way to make that happen with the time travel.
Yeah, that's right.
So, how's it going? How's life on New Girl?
Everything's really great. We're on hiatus this week, and then we go back for our season finale next week, and then we're done for season two.
Meaning you only have one more episode to film?
That's right.
Wow. Check you out.
Yeah,
what has the reaction been like? And I don't know how much interaction you have with the fans because you seem kind of snooty. You probably don't talk to them. But,
you should see I'm wearing a sports jacket and everything.
He's dressed up today. I can't figure that out.
He must have something important to go to after.
Yeah.
What kind of reaction have you had from the fans about the decision to make a romance in the loft?
You know, I do have a lot, actually, of interaction with people through Twitter. And people have been really into it seems like. And
that's
it was
good.
Yeah, it was actually really fun to do because, you know, we don't have it as an actor on TV, we are lowest of low in the television totem pole. So the writers and producers create everything and we show up that week with what we're going to do. And so I was reading as everybody else was reading that Zoe and my character kiss and we're like,
you had no idea that was coming or whatever.
They told us 2 days before we did it.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, I hope people like this.
And then on Twitter you have to defend it as if it was your idea.
If everybody hated it, I'd have to go, well, fantastic. Yeah. So because they like it, I'm like, oh, it's great.
Well, I mean, it's the oldest controversy in television is the, you know, will they get together? I mean, that's a lot. On a lot of shows, that's the attraction of the program is the people, you know, with the way they play games with one another and stuff. So, I mean, it's a real decision. I mean, it's a game changer when you put two characters together romantically. And of course, I know it's not going to be smooth sailing because it's you guys.
That's right.
But it also does open up a ton more possibilities for plots, too, right?
That's what I think. You know, personally, I think it's a fun thing. I don't think they're saying we're getting together, getting married, having kids by season three.
No.
So, and
your character's too much of a slacker to accomplish that much.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably ever. But I think it's a lot of fun. I think they were trying to keep the two characters apart for a long time, and it was getting to the point where it was getting, you know, unrealistic.
Yeah, so, because you could see all along the attraction and something was building.
That's right. And so
had to happen.
It had to happen. Yeah. So now playing with it, I think, will, you know, add a lot of fun to season three, truthfully.
And I love Schmidt's reaction.
Yeah,
when he fights out, it's so funny.
How many people actually have three other roommates in LA? Is that common?
I don't know, a lot of
people to be living in one apartment.
I think it is, given the apartment prices now. Absolutely. Yeah. And in New York, it's absolutely
common. York, it's absolutely.
Yeah.
How many?
So not unrealistic.
I question that. That seems like that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And three guys and one girl.
That may be more
that seems
unrealistic.
Rough.
I'll tell you, in reality, if I was doing that lifestyle, it would be very hard, especially if all these characters were real and Schmidt was a real person.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and you were all in the bathroom together.
All the scenes in the morning before we go out, we're all like looking in the mirror at the same time, and there's like a stall and two urinals. and like the mirrors, you could like see what's happening at the urinals. It would just be a lot.
Yes, it would.
But it's the beauty of TV.
It'd be too much.
It'd be too much.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we've said, and it's no secret, it's one of our favorite shows and America's favorite show since it came out. It's one of those shows that seemed like it came out of the box, like fully formed, you know. But the casting is so great. I mean, I don't know how they do it. I mean, that's why they pay him the big bucks, the casting people. But, I mean, to have all four of you on that show be all so good.
Oh,
I mean,
thanks,
it really
man.
You must be so grateful as an actor to have guys like that to work again.
Yeah, you know, I feel really lucky. With this one, you know, I'd auditioned for TV like every other actor out here for years, and I hadn't even gotten close. And
so, really? Just really, nothing. Didn't even hear a no back.
I mean, honestly, like midway through auditions, a lot of thanks so much, Jake.
No, yeah. Halfway
really?
Through?
Just was not the guy. So on this one, you know, it was insider trading because I had done a movie with Liz Merriweather. So I was like, if I can't book this one,
right.
I'm moving back to Chicago.
Do you think that's how most of the shows get done, is there's got to be some kind of relationship?
You know,
because obviously you're a good actor. You could have been in a lot of projects, but they said no.
I think there's always – there's somebody who likes something or somebody just has that one in a million audition where you just go – and Lamorne did that on our show.
He did.
Nobody knew him. The dude just came in and had an audition where you're like, yeah, this is the guy.
But they would stop you halfway through?
Yeah, I've had some.
Just brutal.
Yeah, I've had auditions where, this is a true story, I was testing for one. The same day I tested for New Girl, in the middle of it, the director and the casting people just started having a conversation full volume. And I was like trying to be cool and not get thrown. But I was also listening to what they were saying in case they were talking about me. Completely forgot my line.
They weren't paying attention to whatever you were doing.
They were having like a full conversation about lunch and the rest of their day. And I'm like, so this is cool. So hey, I'm killing it.
If I'm interrupting, I'll come back another time.
Exactly.
That's rough.
That must be the most frustrating thing about being an actor is knowing that you're good. Like in your case, Jake, I mean, you had a certain amount of confidence to stick with the business, and you knew that you could act. You just needed somebody to give you the opportunity. You just needed the right chance. That must be what keeps you going, I guess.
Yeah, it kind of is. You know, you also, as an actor, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, I love to act.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of, I did so much theater stuff growing up and improv, and you really just want somebody to give you that chance. And so for me, it was Liz Merriweather. She, you know, saw me and started putting me in things. And then with New Girl, you know, with the audition process, Greenfield and I auditioned together.
Oh, really?
So they had like four different Schmidts. You know, like three other guys were like 6 foot plus with like blonde hair and six packs. And then there was a little Greenfield. And then there was like four Knicks, and we were all the same dude. You know, we all had like hoodies. We were all in a bad mood. And as people, we were all like, yeah, traffic's a nightmare, dude. And it's like, yeah, no, dude. And I was like, yeah, we are all clearly Knicks.
Right.
And then they would pair everybody up together.
Wow, so then it was awesome. Like your pairing, if then, the pairing works.
Yeah, well, then you would go in. Well, you'd go in with like a bunch of
with
like
all the
I went in
ones?
With all the Schmidts.
Oh, wow!
And everybody kind of goes. And when Max and I went in, you know, as people, we're similar to our characters. And I think that happens a lot in TV.
Yeah,
interesting.
And so right away, we both kind of walked out. And when the audition ended, we were walking out arguing about something in the audition. As our characters were, and we're both like, yeah, this could be fun.
And then how long till you heard that you got it? How does that work?
You know, then we had to read with Zoe, and Zoe's a producer on it, so we each had to read with her, and that went well. Then you have to...
She could have had your heads cut off
absolutely.
If she didn't like it?
Absolutely. And then we had to go in front of the studio and the network, and
jeez.
Then there's a big test day where you audition in front of everybody, you go home. That night I put a robe on. Drank some tequila, walked around my house at about 8 in the morning the next day. I'd stayed up all night. They gave me the call.
Oh, my
so
God.
So I was on the phone with the producers trying to not seem like I'd been drinking and staying up all night.
I got the job. Yeah. Okay.
They're like, Jake, you got the job? I'm like, right on. Who's going to the horse tracks with me? No, I mean coffee and bagels.
That's a very Nick-like reaction, by the way. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why Nick is a bartender on the show. All right. We must take a break. Actor Jake Johnson is here. When we come back, we want to talk about a very special. It's not unfair to say it's a very special episode of The New Girl tonight, right?
No, I think that's fair.
Very special. lots of very funny guest stars, too. We'll talk more with Jake after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Talking about Coachella, as you know, it's coming up fast. Weekend one completely sold out, but we've got tickets you can win at K-Rock if you want to call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for contestants for the most painful game we play called Omaroki. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, Jake Johnson in studio. He, of course, is Nick on New Girl, airing with another episode tonight at 9 o'clock on Fox. So, Nick Miller, your character is from Chicago. Is that because you, Jake Johnson, are from Chicago?
That's correct. Yeah, they were going to have my character and Lamorne's character from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And when Lamorne booked the job, he's from Chicago as well. And so we were going to be from, like, outside Michigan. I was thinking, these two dudes grew up together.
There you
either go. In Detroit, and then they're like, Liz was like, not Detroit. I'm like, where? Ann Arbor? I was like, just put us from Chicago.
Man, Chicago, right. Well, the reason I bring that up, the reason it matters is because tonight the whole gang goes to Chicago. Talk a little bit about what's going on tonight's episode that you're willing to spoil for.
Yeah, tonight's a big episode. There's a funeral that brings Nick back home to Chicago, and he brings his group of friends with him because they're all kind of, you know, connected to him. And you get to meet Nick's whole family.
That should be fun.
It's a good group. Margot Martindale plays Nick's mom, who's awesome. Nick Kroll, the hilarious. If you're not watching the Kroll show, it's hilarious. He plays my brother, Bill Burr, the comedian, who's incredible.
We love Bill Burr. We have him on all the time.
He's just hilarious.
Yeah, he plays my cousin. A guy named Eric Edelstein plays an Elvis impersonator who's hilarious.
Turns out Nick is the most down-to-earth person in that family.
That's sounds right. Like it.
He's new.
Yeah, the pitch,
the normal.
The pitch they gave me was, Nick's actually the smartest of this bunch. That's how dumb they are.
It's a super, super fun episode. And it's so weird. And I think you see this going through, you know, through Jess's eyes, too, which is you have no idea what the people that you think you know are really like until you get around their family. And that's when you discover what they're all about.
Yeah, I think that's right.
what's the craziest situation you found yourself in as an actor on this show? Either the outfit you had to wear or the thing that you had to do while you were filming New Girl?
You know, I was just saying this earlier today. It made me think about it. But, you know, Dennis Farina, who plays my father in it, there was a flashback where it's an episode coming up in a few. It's called Virginity. Mm-hmm. And it's when each character loses their virginity. Liz Merriweather, our creator, wrote it. And it's a really funny one. And so you get to see when everybody loses their virginity. So Nick,
so for Nick, that would be in the future?
Nick's the current, it's present day. Well, he thinks virginity is kissing Jess. So he loses it during the kiss. So they fitted me for braces, and I had long hair, and I was in high school.
Sweet.
And I did a scene with, you know, the great Dennis Farina.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, and he's also no joke.
Yeah.
He was a detective in Chicago for 20 years. And so I'm sitting there talking about, like, wanting to have intercourse with a woman with braces, long hair. They wanted to put me in Spanx to tighten up my stomach next to Dennis Farina, like right. A king of kings. And that was one of those life moments where I'm like, yeah, this is pretty weird.
What was he like in that scene? Is he a good, funny actor?
He is. He's so funny. He's so, like, everything about him, he's just like rock solid. So I'm like doing this pure stupidity. And he'll just look at me and be like, okay, Jake, pretty good, buddy. Thank you, Farina. Not bad, pal. Let's talk Bears before I smack the crap out of you. You got it, sir.
I love the flashbacks to college, to Nick and Schmidt in college, where you're always wearing a tie-dye, you've got the big mustache, yeah. And the room is filled with pot, it seems like.
Yeah, huge
stoner. Tell me about Fat Schmidt. Like, how do they even do that?
You know, they have these guys there, you know, who do all the movies, and I went to their thing to get the braces done. You've got like every old outfit from all these like awesome movies. It's like the stunt guys through, or whatever they're called, special effects. Mm-hmm. It's through the roof. And they put Max in that, and it looks so real that when you're right next to him,
you really can't
it plays.
Tell. No kidding.
Yeah, and those flashbacks are a lot of fun because they let us improvise a lot of it.
Right.
So at first they would have us, you know, everything was scripted, and then they realized Nick's an old stoner. Schmidt's a goofy fat boy.
Right.
And these two dudes love each other.
Right. So, maybe too much.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're really fun to shoot, but the virginity episode coming up in a few is a ton of that.
Oh, it's such a good show. I wish we had more time, Jake, but we got to go. I'm sorry, dude.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me. nine
I feel
o'clock. Like I'm in an audition.
9 o'clock.
Wait, you start talking and then we'll interrupt.
You are going someplace way more important than us. You didn't wear the sport coat for us, right? You got a meeting or something, right?
Just make it.
No, this is for radio.
Liar. Tonight at 9, check out New Girl. Thanks, Jake.
Thank you, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39.
Yeah, it is.
Take it easy. I haven't even had your mic up yet. Hold on.
Sorry, come on.
Take it easy.
Why is Omar always so excited to get in here and suck? I mean, if I was bad at something as Omar is at singing, I would be terrified of this break.
You mean I'm rocking the mic right?
That's what I mean.
All right. All this week on K-Rock, we're giving you lots of chances to win a pair of three-day passes to Coachella weekend number one, which is, of course, sold out, and score access to the K-Rock Party House at Coachella with exclusive live performances from lots of different bands stopping by throughout the weekend. This is one of those times at 1-800-520-1067. Let's play Omaroki.
Omaroki.
lucky as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
They don't win the game, you go into a drawing. Right. Unless no one's in the drawing, and then we go into sudden death.
I'm going to do it so right, good, everybody's going to get in the drawing.
Very oh. possible. Omar doesn't understand why he's not singing live for all of these bands at Coachella, but here's the way
they're going to rename Coachella to Omarachella after this, baby.
You want to take
wow.
that back? Work?
No.
You happy with that?
Yep. Right.
Omar is going to be singing a popular song from one of the popular bands playing at Coachella this year. All you have to do is identify the song and the band. We're not going to tell you what it is. You have to figure out what the song is and the band or artist. If you're right, you go into the drawing. Somebody's going to win tickets. Who's our first contestant?
Like Bean said, we're not going to go obscure. We're going to go the big band's big songs. Mike is our first contestant in software sales. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Sorry about what's about to happen. Tell us the band and the song name.
Black Bandana, Sweet Louisiana, robbing on a bank in the state of Indiana. She's a runner, rebel, and a stunner. On her right wire, same what you gonna. Looking down on a barrel of a hot metal 45.
Okay, that's
just
fine.
Another wave to survive.
We don't need every second of the song. What is it?
I like Omar doing it like I would, slurring half the lyrics. Mike?
I think that's Red Hot Chili Peppers doing Californication, maybe?
Oh,
he was so close.
It was a good guess.
So close. It's Danny California is the name of that song. I'm so
Black
sorry.
Black Bandana, Sweet Louisiana.
No, don't sing it like that is what you did, Omar.
If I had music behind me.
Please. Let's go to Bianca in construction. Hi, Bianca.
Hello.
I didn't know there was anyone named Bianca in construction. You must be very popular on that site.
Yep.
That's right. Okay. All right. Listen up. Here's Omar singing a song. You give us title and artist, please.
Woohoo! Woohoo! Woohoo!
Right. And then.
Woohoo!
Right.
All right. Got that.
I got my head checked by a jumbo jet. It wasn't easy, but nothing is. No.
That's enough. Thank you very much. Bianca, what is it?
That's Blur.
Yep.
Woohoo.
Oh. That's not the title of it. That's the right Blur song, but it's called Song 2.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Stop it. Does somebody screw up Woohoo?
Well, she thought that was the name of it.
No. I'm talking about Omar.
Oh, Omar. Oh, I see.
I knew that pretty good.
Like, how are you not even seeing Woohoo convincingly?
Come on.
Let's go to Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
How's it going?
It's not going well. If I could be honest, we don't have any winners yet. But here's Omar. You have to give us the band and the song title.
It's 20 seconds till last call. You're going, hey, 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 hey. Lie down, you know it's easy. Like we did it over summer long.
Please get it, please get it, please get it.
Have you heard that song, Omar?
Yes.
Okay.
Sounds just like it.
Kevin?
Yeah, I don't know.
One of the biggest, oh, wow. That's Phoenix, 1901.
20 seconds till last call.
Nope, that didn't sound.
Singing, hey, hey,
that
hey,
didn't
hey,
sound
hey.
Anything like the song.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are into sudden death now. You name title and artist, you win Coachella tickets from the world famous K-Rock. Who's the lucky contestant up next?
Veronica, you ready to do the impossible?
Yeah, I am, but I'm really scared at this point.
You should be.
What?
All right, here's Omar. You tell us the band and the song title.
Okay.
How does it feel to treat me like you do when you've laid your hands upon me and you told me who you are?
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. It's New Order, Blue Monday. That was actually good, Omar.
Thanks.
That wasn't bad.
I'm a huge New Order fan.
Now it's time for sudden death. You really, really do win if you can get the title and artist that Omar's singing. Hoopa.
Maybe we should just go with the band.
Well, let's try one more, and then we might get desperate.
Matthew is next. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Matt. Hey, how you guys doing? I'm ready.
We are good. You're ready. Here we go.
The girl in front of the room, so close yet so far away, she never seemed to notice. This silly schoolboy crush wasn't just pretend.
Wow. Boy, I've heard that song a lot. Sure don't recognize that version.
I'm looking at the answer, and it's not.
Social Distortion.
Yes.
And the name of the song is Story of My Life.
Story of My Life!
Got it! Oh, you're giving it to him, are you?
Did he say Story of My Life?
That's what I thought.
No, he said Time of My Life.
Oh.
Damn it.
The girl in the front.
He said Time of My Life?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got to say, ordinarily I would say let's give it to him, but we didn't give Danny California versus Californication. It's so close, but I think we can't. I'm so sorry.
Sorry, Matthew.
I'm sorry. Oh, jeez. We could have been done with this. We could have not had to hear Omar sing anymore.
I was playing the music. We could have just acted like he got it right, for God's sake.
I think we're going to be all right with our next – we got Tim, right? Tim is the one who's going to bring it home here. Tim, really, it's all on you, buddy. Good luck, okay?
I feel good about this guy.
All right, here's Omar.
When I'm walking, I strike my stuff, but yet I'm so strung out. I'm high as a kite. I might stop to check you out. Let me go on.
Like a...
Don't...
Discover card.
Bro, I lost my job. They kicked me out of the band.
Oh, no, bro.
Yeah, it does not rock.
So check this out. You got our new IT card, so we'll lower your interest rate, lower your monthly payment, or find another way to help out until you land another gig.
You'd do that for me?
Rocking it out right now, bro.
Right on. You and me, we should totally jam sometime.
Totally. I mostly play cowbell. It's pretty sweet.
At Discover, we treat you like you'd treat you. Job loss support. Get the new IT card at discover.com.
You dare not know this. Not with the shoot, you mean. Shoot.
Hey, contestant, you can't say the S word.
Oh, right, Jesus Christ. That was, let's go to...
That was Violent Femmes Blister in the Sun. Let me go
I'm going to say but these contestants are sucky ass.
I'm going to say some of them are.
Okay.
Yeah, and you're bad on some of them.
All right, this is it. I feel good about this.
You feel good about Tanya?
I do.
I don't feel good about this.
Hey, Tanya, you've been on the phone. You've listened to the other contestants. How have you done been playing along?
You know, I've gotten half of them, but now I'm really intimidated.
Yeah, you should be because Omar's bad. All right,
good luck. Get it and you win.
So if you're lonely, you know I'm here waiting for you. I'm just a crosshair. I'm just a shot away from you.
Ooh, ooh. All right, I am totally blanked on
the line. So if you're lonely. That's Franz Ferdinand.
Let's go to Jonathan, line 8.
I'm out of songs.
We're out of songs, dude.
I know. No. That's why I said let's go to Jonathan on line 8. Congratulations. You are going to Coachella, Jonathan.
You're going to give it to a guy who didn't even have to guess?
Yes, I am.
Way to go, Jonathan.
Thanks for playing Omaroki.
Thanks for not playing Omaroki.
Omaroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:53.
What's up with actress Tilda Swinton sleeping in a box in a museum in New York? We'll talk to an expert who will explain to us how that's art. Coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph Garman's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. Good morning, Ralph.
Hey, Ralph.
And go.
I just came in the studio. Turning up his headphones.
Hey there.
All right. Microphone.
Communication problems in the other room.
And go.
Lindsay Lohan told her attorney to keep her out of rehab until after Coachella Music Festival.
She has priorities.
She doesn't want to go to rehab until after she parties for two weekends in a row at the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival in Palm Springs.
I applaud that. I think that's the right decision.
I guess. Look, if you're going to go dry out, why not have one last party before you go, right?
Sure.
Although she's had seven last parties before she went, so who knows about that. David Letterman last night had a fascinating interview with James Franco, who stars in the movie Spring Breakers. He revealed something that up till now had been just a rumor. There was a longstanding rumor since the late 90s that director Harmony Korine, who you guys had on the show, had been banned from Letterman.
Oh, really? How come?
Well, Letterman would never address it, but the rumor was that he got into a physical altercation with Meryl Streep backstage on the night he was supposed to appear on the David Letterman show.
Who fights with Meryl Streep?
That was the question. And that was the rumor, and it was never really addressed until last night. Franco was on the show promoting the movie, and Dave finally told the story. He said he went back to Meryl Streep's dressing room to say hello to her the night in question, and she wasn't there. I looked around, says Letterman, and found your friend Harmony going through her purse.
What?
You're kidding.
I said, okay, that's it. Put her things back in the bag and get out of here, Letterman said, and the director has been banned from the late night show ever since.
Really?
Yeah. Franco tried to defend his friend, saying he was probably on something that night.
Good defense.
Letterman didn't seem impressed by the defense. And,
That's funny.
I don't know, maybe Letterman will have it back and to talk about it. But I had always heard the rumors, and now it's even more interesting to know the real reason. I guess he was looking for drug money.
Or something.
Well,
fire beer mug.
He had a legendary drug problem back in the day, so I can only assume that's the reason he would be pilfering from Meryl Streep. Maybe he needed a lipstick.
That's weird.
Or a tampon. I don't know. Maybe it could have been any number of things.
What an idiot!
That's what I'm saying. And Kate Upton won't be going to the prom. Sports Illustrated bombshell apparently said no to Jake Davidson, that Los Angeles high school senior. We played his YouTube video last week where he was asking her out. She had said she would absolutely go with him if she could clear her schedule for the May 23rd date the prom was going to be held. But she announced this week that she just can't get that day clear. So she's going to miss out on going to a prom with a pimply face 18-year-old.
I wonder if that kid has some celebrity now in his school for being bold enough to ask Kate Upton. He got on the Today Show and everything. I wonder if
sure he
won't have any trouble finding a date now.
Not going to get anyone that looks like Kate Upton.
No, he's not going to get Kate Upton.
Yeah. But I mean, he'll go alone.
Yeah.
You know, it's that seal of approval. You know,
that's right.
A hot girl shows some interest in you. All of a sudden, the other girls pay attention. Women. And you think our survivor's tough.
Our survivor is tough, Ralph.
I didn't say... You say our survivors. Oh. You think that. The French version, much tougher.
French Survivor?
French Survivor. The franchise Survivor out the country all over the world. The French version of Survivor.
They just wave the white flag?
Much tougher.
Yeah, they all just quit, right? Day one.
The opposite. First day of filming, 25-year-old, boom, dead.
What?
Yeah, dead.
First day?
Mm-hmm. He had jumped out of the boat with everybody. Swam his way to shore, was doing a tug-of-war competition with other contestants when he started to complain about pains in his arms. Doctors treated him briefly before having him evacuated by a helicopter to a nearby hospital, but he suffered a series of cardiac arrests during the transfer.
Wow!
Before he reached the facility and was pronounced DOA.
Dead, 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 dead!
French, how old was he, Ralph?
25.
Wow!
French TV Network, which produces the show, said that everyone had gotten extensive medical tests before they were selected. They have no idea what went wrong.
Wow.
But they have canceled.
Oh, they have?
They have canceled this season.
We're voting you all off.
Of French Survivor. They send everyone home after it happened. They couldn't see really how they could carry on after that. Yeah, because it was the first day. That would have been week two, man. They were written right into the storyline. It's the highest rated series in France, by the way, their version of Survivor.
Is it really?
Next to The French Voice.
Oh. Wow.
The Voice in French.
That's with Carson Daly.
File.
Wow.
Come on. Is that French? That guy? He's the one who hosts it here.
File.
Actually, it's Carson DeJour.
That's true. That'd
maybe
be better.
The host.
Better joke.
Today's celebrity birthday is Leonard Nimoy. He's 82 years old today. Alan Arkin celebrates his 79th birthday. James Caan, Godfather. Of course, Brian's Song. Las Vegas. Elf. 73 years old. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 65. Martin Short is 63. Chris Hansen celebrates his 54th birthday. Jennifer Grey is 53. Michael Imperioli is 47. James Iha is 45 years old. Leslie Mann celebrates 41 years old. Larry Page, CEO and co-founder of Google, is just 40 years old today. The guy who founded Google. That's pretty strong, right? Amy Smart is 37 years old. And Keira Knightley celebrates 28 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yay! 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This
Yay!
Is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
I like music.
Sounds like a whole band made up of retarded policemen, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What would the aliens think if they came down to Earth and listened to the last half hour of the Kevin and Bean Show with the crazy chick in Lancaster, California, drinking blood, and then Tilda Swinton living in a box in New York, in a museum? What would they even make of our society?
They would wipe us out, and rightfully so.
I think so. Yeah. We are definitely circling the drain at this point. All right, it's 9:37 Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have time for one more look at the show Bizbeat with our good friend, Ralph Garman. Go Explorers.
Hey, Dave, I need that thing.
Dave, the thing!
Dave, I need the thing.
Get the thing!
Stat.
I need the thing when you get a chance. The thing. They want me to give away something here, and I don't have the thing.
All right.
I can give out those details if
you
want.
Yeah, why don't you do that? Why don't you just give away that thing? And then I want
pair
to do
the
thing.
VIP passes to see Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. They're white guys who rap, don't you know, headlining the Paid Dues Festival, which is coming up at the San Manuel Amphitheater on Saturday, March the 30th. You can go to paiddoesfestival.com for information. This VIP thing is cool because you get the artist meet and greet and the t-shirt and drinks and the full bar, the whole deal. You can call right now 1-800-520-1067. Courtesy of Ralph Garman, caller 20, you win this hour on the world famous K-Rock.
Yeah. Come to go see McCormick and Schmicks. They do great work. And the
Macklemore and Ryan Lewis.
I'll tell you, the fish and chips, by the way, if you're going to get something at Macklemore and Schmicks there, make sure you get that.
Very different.
Ask for the tartar sauce. They make it there fresh, and it's just outstanding.
That's not tartar sauce.
It's amazing, lady.
I don't do that voice anymore. So.
That's right. Ralph, I am going to see Mr. Lewis in concert next month.
Macklemore and Lewis?
No, Jerry Lewis.
You're not.
You're not going to any such thing.
I'm saying you're going to do things you're not going to do.
So what?
I
bought a ticket. So what?
You also paid $5,000 to meet Scarlett Johansson.
You don't go. Tell us afterwards.
I'm going to see Jerry Lewis. I can't even believe I'm doing it. But how crazy is that he's alive and performing a concert?
And what a terrible idea for you to go.
I think it's going to be fun.
I think Jerry Lewis is the best, and everything he does is excellent, and anyone who impersonates him is bad.
I agree with Ralph, completely.
I agree with Ralph, too, actually.
Good.
Hey, I heard you guys talking about earlier this week that cat from Breakfast at Tiffany's, the Broadway show.
Got fired.
Yeah,
got fired.
Monty, yeah.
Cat got fired. It's a big hit on Broadway right now, Breakfast at Tiffany's, based on, of course, on the legendary Truman Capote book. It was made into a big-time movie back in the day with Audrey Hepburn. It was a big deal. Now they're doing a stage version. It almost had a very high-profile guest to mark its opening on Broadway last week. The author himself, Truman Capote, was almost there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, Truman Capote has been dead for years.
Ha-ha! See, that would be the difficult, you would think.
That would be difficult.
But no.
Hologram.
They were going to fly in his ashes for the after party.
Stupid.
And snort him?
For the after party. They were going to fly in Truman Capote's ashes for the after party.
Dumb.
So everyone could just gather around Capote's ashes and party with them. They were willing to pay first class airfare to get his ashes to New York from here in Los Angeles.
Really?
That's not necessary at all, right?
But the plan got scuttled over security fears.
Somebody might steal it.
Well, apparently, the urn and the ashes have been stolen twice previously, Kevin. So how about that? So there's a real problem with keeping Truman in one place. They had been stolen from a private home in 1988.
People
when they
are
were
awesome.
Then returned secretly, and there was another attempt years later at a party at that same home. By the way, the woman who owns Truman Capote's ashes, Johnny Carson's ex-wife, Joanne Carson.
Really?
They apparently were the closest of friends in his later years.
Hmm.
And he died in her home. And that's where the ashes are kept, in her house. So more than you ever want to know about Truman Capote's ashes in that story. But I thought it was hilarious that they thought it would be great to fly him out to see a Broadway show.
Wow.
In the afterlife.
What did you think?
Anyway, I'll take that as a good response. Your
this,
silence, Truman.
Won't surprise you, Ralph, but a few years ago I was on vacation in Kansas, and I went to the house.
The Capote Museum. And you got
No. I went to the house where that guy killed his whole family that Truman Capote wrote the In Cold Blood book about. And I went and visited that.
That is a great story.
You and visited the murder scene?
Yes, I went to the house where the In Cold Blood murders happened in Holcomb, Kansas. Yeah.
Is anyone alerting the authorities? Is anyone keeping an eye on this person at all?
Exciting story.
The man with the John Wayne Gacy paintings in his home.
He's
visiting
obsessed.
The multiple murder scenes.
Yeah.
Is anyone keeping an eye on him? The guy who wants to stuff human beings and keep them on his couch so he can watch television with them.
Do you remember?
Is this thing on? Are there any authorities who are paying attention?
Ralph, were you working with us when we went to Amsterdam?
No, sir, I was not.
Okay, where do you think Bean went? When we were in Amsterdam.
Well, I think Amsterdam.
In a hash bar.
I think Anne Frank.
That's where he went.
Yeah.
While we were at a hash bar, he went
as millions of other tourists around the world do also, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, but they're not rooting for the Nazis when they go.
I wasn't rooting for the Nazis.
They were more on Anne Frank's side, unlike you.
Look, it's a, I have purely academic interest. I'm not interested in being like these people.
It's academic. You want to learn how to murder people. That's why you go there to pick up tips.
Not by their art.
Exciting story.
Stephen Colbert is going to have a very special guest. Bill Clinton. Clinton on the Colbert Report. How awesome will that be?
That'll be pretty good.
Yeah. Apparently he's going to be interviewing Bill as he closes session of the sixth annual meeting of the Clinton Global Initiative. Clinton Global Initiative. It's an annual event. You know, it's just a bunch of guys getting together trading tips on how to get tail, right?
Sure.
It's got to be. Sure. That's the Global Initiative. Get as many women in the nude as possible. What else is Bill working on so hard every year? Nothing. Oh, sad news for Lisa.
What?
Oh, I know you're a big Smash fan, Lisa.
Oh, did officially.
Not officially, but Hollywood Reporter says Deborah Messing has a new show on CBS, if that means anything.
That's how we're learning about every show getting canceled. The stars go someplace else before we've even been told.
She's been cast as a lead in a new CBS comedy pilot.
They have to pull the plug on Smash. It's been a ratings disaster. Isn't it worse every week, Ralph?
Yeah, it has been slipping since its debut of its second season. She'll play a married mother of three who's also a ghostwriter for a celebrity chef's cookbooks.
That's got everything.
It's unique.
It's brought to you by the guys who created Smash.
Wow.
Well, with that record, why not?
That's Hollywood. Hey, you know that failed show you did? Here, do us another one. Just like that. So,
but make it sound worse.
Yeah. I told you, Lindsay Lohan was in the news today. A story on RadarOnline.com about the fact that she only gave one set of marching orders to her legal team when they were trying to handle her lying to the cops case. That she wanted to be kept out of jail and or rehab until after Coachella. That was the only thing she cared about.
Love it.
Source tells RadarOnline.com, Lindsay was adamant that she not be forced to go into rehab until after the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival on successive weekends in April. Lindsay loves going to the musical festival, and she's determined to go again this year. She wanted a little thing like rehab to get in her way of attending.
Now, I know you were mocking earlier when you drew the comparison between Kevin and Lindsay Lohan, but truthfully, Kevin, if you had to go to rehab or jail for 90 days, you'd do the same thing. You'd put it off till after Coachella, right?
In a second.
Yeah.
That's a Kevin. She's a Kevin. Maybe Lindsay's got a reason to party. Her movie that she was in called Inappropriate Comedy that opened up this past weekend. Limited release, 275 theaters carried the film. It made $625 per screen.
Ouch.
That's low.
But Ralph, you'd do the same thing. You'd do the same thing.
I would be in a movie
Coachella?
That was in 275 theaters.
No, go back to Coachella. You'd do the same thing.
I would
put it off.
I would put myself into rehab before Coachella just so I wouldn't have to go.
Oh, you don't like going. Okay.
I would throw a brick through a plate glass window in front of a cop, hopefully to get arrested to be hauled in before Coachella.
You're wrong. Back to you.
The movie, by the way, was directed by Vince Offer, best known as the Sham Wow guy from the TV infomercial. So I can't imagine how it didn't do better. With a pedigree like that.
We got to find a listener who has seen this movie to tell us about it.
Good luck. I would love to talk to someone who has seen it.
That'd be really interesting, wouldn't it?
They're planning on a sequel, however. Inappropriate Comedy 2 is going to be written and directed by the guys who did Smash. So, they got that going for them.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow.
Hey, Vince. Vince, how about those Germans? Those Germans, good stuff coming out of
Germany? The Germans always make good stuff.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Germans make good stuff. Maybe they should have made this movie in Germany. Maybe it would have been better.
ShamWow holds 20 times its weight in liquid.
I got to tell you, say what you want about Vince, but that ShamWow is a hell of a product.
You turned me around on the ShamWow. I had no idea how awesome it was.
I love the ShamWow. 20 times its own weight in fluid.
Exciting story.
Don't ask me how I tested it, but I'm just telling you it holds 20 times its own weight in fluid. Today's celebrity birthday is just a list of who's who in show business right here, right now. Keira Knightley, 28 years old today. The delectable Amy Smart, she's 37 years old. T.R. Knight from Grey's Anatomy turns 40. Leslie Mann from Knocked Up, and This Is 40, is 41. James Iha from Smashing Pumpkins, 45 years old today. Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos, 47 years old. Remember that Life on Mars? Did you watch that short-lived Life on Mars TV series?
I did.
Boy, that was
a good
show, and he was great on it. Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing and Ferris Bueller's Day Off is 53. Chris Hansen.
I'm cute, though. Built good.
Yeah, he's cute and built good, and he's 54 years old. Martin Short, one of our great comic talents of all time. 63 years old. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 65. James Caan celebrates his 37th birthday. Alan Arkin from Argo and Little Miss Sunshine now can be seen in Burt Wonderstone. He's 79 years old, still as funny as ever. And Leonard Nimoy. Live long and prosper, my friend. From Star Trek, of course, Mr. Spock, 82 years old today. Bean's just waiting. He's got the stuffing waiting. He's got, he's just ready there. He's just,
nope.
He's just waiting for Leonard to go so he can put him in a blue shirt and put his fingers in this position and just watch Star Trek reruns with him on the couch all the time.
I think there's a bigger Nimoy fan out there who deserves Leonard's corpse more than I do.
His family. Perhaps his family.
If they want to do it. Yeah.
I got to get the phone. Hold on. Somebody called. I got to get the phone.
It's David on line one, Ralph,
David?
Who's calling.
David, you're calling? David? Hello, David.
Any way we could bring his voice on the air as well, not just ours?
I had it set, right?
Or no.
David, you there?
David?
Saw inappropriate comedy.
Nope. Too bad we're not going to hear about it.
All right. Sorry.
You saw
gone.
It? Killed
gone.
Him.
Gone.
Enjoy talking to you, David.
The movie killed him.
Died.
That's it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the ship with Pete.
Way to end on an up note.
No, it was good. It was strong. A lot of momentum.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean
Show. You're the guy who broke his leg before the finish line of the marathon. That's what you are.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Jane Levy from Evil Dead.
Oh, scary.
And she's adorable, right?
We have Cousin Sal talking about...
Oh, so adorable.
How to make money on the Sweet 16. We have Adam Carolla.
Well, Sal Explorers, that's how you make money.
We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
And we have Would You Like to Take That Back tomorrow? An all-new edition. And we have Coachella tickets tomorrow morning as well. Stop it, Ralph. Stop looking at me like
what?
That.
All-new edition.